And hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Nosebleed section. I'm Pat McDonald. It's been a little while since I sat down in the Nosebleed section, and I've been trying to think of the perfect guest to restart the podcast. From the moment I heard about Mike Reynolds and his battle with cancer, I knew I needed to sit down with him and talk about his journey. The Horsehead Senior is a standout bowler and a member of the Blue Raiders football team. While he couldn't play this past football season, he was still with the team as they went on to win a Section 4 championship for the first time in over 20 years. Mike got some great news earlier this year and is now cancer-free and back on the lanes, knocking down strike after strike. Mike was down here tonight in the Valley bowling, and I'm thrilled to welcome him to the Nosebleed section. So let's just get right into it. Can you tell me about your journey with nodular sclerosis, Hodgkin's lymphoma?
So I'm bowling in a scholarship tournament in Endicott at Ideal Lanes on March 17th. And I, about middle of the second game, just had like an itch on my neck and I felt it, and I felt a bump there. So I went up, kind of let it go for a little bit. And then I finally told my parents once that game was over. So we didn't worry about it much during that. And then a friend of mine, his mom's a nurse, so she kind of looked at it and stuff. We went on for a few days. They didn't really like go down or anything. They were just there. So we ended up seeing a doctor for it, well, my primary, and they looked at it really a little bit. I mean, not much. They just thought it was like an infection type of thing. It would go down. Didn't end up going down. So we got referred to Rochester. They really kind of thought the same thing. So then we just kept going back for like every 2 weeks. We'd go back. They'd look at it, not really think anything of it, go back. Finally, after probably about a month went by, and then I had a Tarlov cyst in the back. So we went to a specialist in Manhattan for that. And we got a PET scan done for the back. We looked at it, and that gave us the lymphoma. But just to be sure, we did a biopsy later on. They did that, and then that kind of gave us the correct read of it being the Hodgkin's and stage 4.
And kind of what was your initial reaction to the diagnosis? It kind of came out of nowhere. You know, an itch on your shoulder, it turns into something crazy like that.
My parents knew before I did, so it was kind of like a morning thing. They came in my room and like played it off pretty well. I didn't really think they were going to give me any news like that. And then they told me and I freaked out. I mean, I started yelling, crying, put my face in the pillow and everything. I couldn't believe it.
And then so you go through 12 rounds of chemo over the next 10 months, right? After that?
Yep.
What was that process like? And can you explain to anybody that's never been through it? Obviously, nobody wants to go through that, but what's it like going through all that?
The first probably four, I was, especially the first one, very nervous, did not know at all what to expect. It's definitely rough, especially when you're there for 5 hours like I was and you're just stuck in one room, can't really go anywhere. At least there was like family and people that would come in and like talk to you and everything. But the first four of them were definitely very nerve-wracking. Once you kind of got used to it and like, you know, every other Thursday you got to go and you're going to have the same thing keep happening, you kind of just got in the, kind of made it a routine after a while.
So where'd you go to get that done?
Galisano in Rochester.
Okay, so making that trip up there. I see you got a full head of hair now. Everybody thinks that's the first thing they think of, right? Is that you lose the hair when you had the chemo going?
Yeah, so they said I'd lose all the hair on my head and I'd end up losing about 40 to 65 pounds. And it was the complete opposite. I didn't lose any hair on my head and I gained about 40 pounds. So
how'd they explain that? Everybody takes it different?
They really didn't. They asked us kind of what we did. And after we kind of told them, like, we kind of did a high protein and like really hydrating type of thing to try and make sure it would at least help. But it actually flipped everything around from what they thought. So they're actually telling me to write a book about everything. But we haven't decided if we're going to do that part of it. But that was really the whole thing, was just the protein, the hydrating.
That's amazing. And kind of what helped you get through those 5 hour days and the 12 rounds of chemo over 10 months? Anything you did specifically to get through those days and kind of talk about the family support you had?
The one thing that definitely got us through, they had a TV in the room and they said you can bring like video games and stuff. So I kind of did that to keep my mind off of it, but definitely having family there that, you know, you just turn, you can hold a conversation with somebody. You're not just sitting there alone the whole time.
And how much did having your mom and dad, and I'm sure everybody around your family helping you out, how much does that support kind of get you through those days?
Oh, it definitely helped. Especially when you got nervous about something, you could kind of like look over and look at one of them and they'd like show you like they're right there. They know what's going on and you're not just feeling alone through the whole thing.
Now, I'm sure We were talking beforehand. I've interviewed Timmy Ward of Canton, who's now playing football at Rutgers, went through Hodgkin's lymphoma, and he would tell me there was ups and downs, right? There were some days you're, you know, thinking the worst, and other days you're high spirits. So kind of, did you have those days where you're, some days you didn't want to do anything, didn't want to get out of bed kind of thing, and other days where you're thinking to the future and knowing you're going to get through it?
Yeah, so definitely on Fridays, the day after chemo, I didn't want to move at all. I kind of wanted to stay in bed, but I knew I had to get up and at least start moving around, or else I'd feel even worse practically. There were definitely days, especially once you got into the start of the next week, like you felt better, you knew it was going to help at some point, so you just had to push yourself through it. And then after a while, when you got people that are like messaging you through the whole thing, it definitely helped days get a lot better.
Yeah, how do you kind of keep your mindset right to know that, maybe put goals out there where you want to get back to bowling and other stuff? What kind of helped you to keep that mindset going?
Definitely having people like messaging me, making sure I'm in the right space, and then just trying to set a goal, like while you're going through everything, try and hold like this average in bowling. And then when it's done, try and get like even higher type of thing.
And talk about the support from the community. Me and my broadcast partner, Cody, went up there and broadcast the Horsehead football game this past fall. And you're on the sidelines with the team and all that. Kind of talk about the community support from Horseheads and throughout the Twin Tiers.
It's been a big help. I mean, there's been a lot of people like that we've known that are like really close, like family. And then there's a lot that we really didn't even know, but they just saw the story and decided to throw a donation out there just to help us.
And what would it mean to you to be on the football team still and not being able to play, but obviously being on the team? And this year is a great year, first section title since 1998, right, for Horsehead. So what was that like to be part of that team still in the program?
It was a fun year, even not being able to play. It was definitely fun. And you knew, like, I'd show up every day and they'd all come running over and just treat me like I was the same type of kid, just not being able to play. And it was definitely nice being able to help them and at least knowing like they're there for me and I'll be there for them.
Yeah, talk about Coach Hillman. How much does he mean to you as a football coach there?
A lot.
A good guy.
He meant a lot. He definitely, as soon as we got the diagnosis and everything, we messaged him. He was calling us, making sure that I'd still be coming. And he definitely had like a spot for me to be at least like on the field and at least be able to help out. And then just all the support that he gave and being able to do the whole game with like the shirts and everything, it was awesome.
And now you just got the good news, a couple of weeks ago, right? So you're got to ring the bell and everything cancer-free now?
Yep, we did.
And so what was that moment like? When did you find out who was with you when you first found that out?
So it was, we got a scan on a Friday night, and then, so that would have been around like first weekend of January, and then Tuesday night after the scan, I was actually bowling at Crystal Lanes with my dad in a youth adult league, and my mom's at home sleeping because she works overnight, and the doctor called her, and she got the news and everything, and she was trying to call us, but the calls couldn't come through. So she ended up just calling the bowling alley, and they ended up announcing it over the whole thing as soon as we answered the phone. So it was definitely different from what I thought it was going to end up being, but everyone ended up practically finding out at the same time, and you had people running all the way down the lanes, like congratulating me and everything. So it was special.
That's awesome, man. I'm sure mom didn't get back to sleep that night, probably.
No, she did not. She actually jumped in the car and drove all the way down to Corning and called off of work just for that night because she couldn't sleep.
That's awesome. So let's talk about bowling. I mean, that's your big thing, right? So yeah. When did you start hitting the lanes?
I started in seventh grade, so 6 years ago. And I didn't think I was going to take it as far as I did, but once I started getting into it, it got fun, so.
I was expecting you to say like, oh, I was 5 years old bowling. Yeah, right? So seventh grade. So when did you kind of know you were pretty good?
Seventh grade, I just started it because of the whole COVID thing, and it was one of the only things you could really do. But it took about almost a year and a half to where I could see my average like starting to at least like go up, but it went up at like a big margin. So I just kept up with it, and a couple like family friends of ours have always been into bowling, so they kind of were like helping me through the whole thing. And then we kind of looked at it and realized like my average was jumping like 20 to 40 pins a week. So then we just kept up with it, and all of a sudden it just stuck to me, and there we went.
So what are you rolling now on average, like a series for you?
So right now for high school, I'm averaging about a 218 for a game. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, series wise would be around high 600s.
So what's, is that, are you back to normal now from before the cancer diagnosis? Are you even better than you were before?
I think it was kind of hard to get used to at first going through the whole like treatments and everything, but you could start to see like the scores were going back to the way they were last year before all of this. And now you can see it kind of like steadying out to where like you can realize right where I'm at now instead of it going down.
So people don't follow bowling that closely around here, right? So kind of tell people, what are some of your accolades? I know you've bowled in some big tournaments throughout New York State and beyond, right?
Yeah, so I've qualified for like the state Pepsi tournament every year, which is like one of the bigger ones for the state. They do state team tournaments, which my team and I played second in last year in Syracuse. I've made state qualifiers for the high school the last 3 or 4 years now. And then I went to states 2 years ago. And then we've been to nationals for the youth. It would have been the last 4 or 5 years, but last year I couldn't go because of the diagnosis. So yeah, we'll get back into it this year.
And what are the goals for this year in bowling?
For the school, my goal is to average around like a 225 and make it to states for my last year. And then nationals-wise, I just want to be able to make like the advance around and just keep moving on later than usual.
So we're sitting here in the Choice 102 studios in the Valley in Sayre because you were bowling at the Valley Bowling Center tonight. So talk about your trips down here. Is the VBC kind of when you're home away from homes?
Yeah, so we go there quite a bit, especially when I want to work with like Ryan Schaefer as like my coach type of thing. When I want to work with him, we usually tend to come down here. Just a nice place and good people own it. So we just decided to come down here and it's been a home.
That's kind of my next thing. Talk about some mentors in the sport. Is Ryan your biggest one there?
Yeah, Ryan definitely is. I mean, he drills all my equipment. He coaches me. Even if it's like through a text message, I'll send him a video or something. He can help me out. It's definitely been him. Like family friends of ours, like the Gundersons. And then for high school, I mean, like Coach Micknick and everything, he just at least keeps me calm through the whole thing and just lets me do like kind of what I want and then get a hold of Ryan and then we can just work through it from there.
Now, well, what are the future plans college-wise, and are you looking to go bowl in college?
Yeah, so I'm looking to study like exercise science or athletic training in college and then go on and bowl for the 4 years.
Were you looking at any top choices yet?
Yeah, so we've looked at three schools so far. It's been Spring Arbor University, which is more on like the top of the list, and then there's Muskingum and Huntington University that are like just behind them. So we're just deciding between the three.
So where are those three at? Where are they?
So Spring Arbor, Michigan. It's about 20 to 40 minutes away from Ann Arbor.
Yep.
And then Muskingum University is in New Concord, Ohio, so not super far from like Columbus area. And then Huntington is in Huntington, Indiana, about an hour from Indianapolis.
Not a ton of college schools have bowling programs, right? Is that the...
You don't see a lot of them, especially like around us. Most of them are either like way out west or right in the Midwest, but you're not going to find many, like especially in New York or anywhere around here now. There's not really many to choose from.
That's awesome. Well, I want to thank you for joining me here. Before I let you go, I always do rapid fire. So favorite subject in school?
I'm probably going to have to go with any kind of like math subjects.
Favorite local restaurant? Don't want to offend anybody, I know.
Probably going to have to go with like Nick's and Horseheads, Hanover Square.
Favorite TV show?
Probably Impractical Jokers.
Favorite movie?
Wow.
Put you on the spot.
Good ones. Probably like a Home Alone movie, Home Alone 2.
Favorite pro sports team?
Green Bay Packers.
And then bucket list sporting event to attend?
The Super Bowl.
That is Mike Reynolds, Horseheads High School senior. Been through quite a journey now and back in the bowling alley and doing great things there and in school, getting ready to graduate in June, probably right up there at Horseheads.
Yes, yep.
Well, I want to thank you for joining me here on the Nosebleed Section podcast. It was great talking with you, and good luck the rest of this bowling season and with everything in the future. And that's going to do it for this episode of the Nosebleed Section. If you have an idea for our next guest here on the Nosebleed Section podcast, don't hesitate to reach out to me through email at pat.mcdonald@radiganmedia.com or by sending a message to us through any one of our Radigan Media Facebook pages. Once again, thanks to Mike Reynolds for joining me here on this episode, and I will talk to you next time in the Nosebleed Section.